Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. On this episode, it is our annual TV and film release extravaganza. Over 30 movies and 20 TV shows are about to be discussed with all the details you need. So get ready to take some notes as we break down our most anticipated of 2022. Also, sandwiched in between here will be our spoiler-free reviews of Scream and the new season of Ozark. We've got a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow hosts, John Davenport.
Hey, Aaron. How you doing today?
Wonderful. Welcome back. By the way, you weren't here last week.
Yeah, no. It was, month.
Yeah, stuff. Amanda Sink.
Stuff.
Hello, hello.
And Troy Heinrichs.
John's here? I thought that meant I had a vacation day.
No.
No. Well, all four are back together yet. I don't know if it's been, a month since we were all together, hasn't it?
At least that, if not more.
Has anything changed?
I've probably put on about 10 pounds.
Oh.
I've lost like 7 pounds.
So I guess that's true what they say. The camera does add 10. Because I was just going to tell you.
Or a really puffy sweatshirt.
Oh, that's me.
Just kidding, Chunkster. You're fine. You look good.
You are so rude.
What time did you waddle in?
I'm still
in here?
A very handsome man.
It's 10 pounds of dog weight. That's it.
That's
John,
it
you are a handsome fella.
I am.
Yeah. Thanks for rolling in the night. We really do appreciate it.
My belly gave you enough time to get ready for me to be here.
Is this because you're snowed in? Aren't you? You're basically trapped in your home at this point because there's snow all around you?
Yes, I'm completely trapped in this mountain place. I've started devising my evil plans on conquering the world. I sit there and I listen to the different militias shooting their guns off in the distance. There's a lot of things that are going on up here nowhere's land.
That's really messed up. But thanks for sharing that. And I think it would be awesome to be trapped out in the middle of North Carolina, right? Like in the middle of the woods and the snow. I think it would be, as long as you got firewood, heat, internet, what more do you need? I mean, you've got two of those three.
Well, it's got firewood and heat.
I have all those things.
Yeah. You've got internet. Debatably.
Barely.
Debatably, I was going to say barely.
Debatably.
When it gets a little too cold, the internet slows down. I don't know what the correlation in that is. It's weird.
Ice. Ice, baby.
Water impedes electricity.
Are you making that up?
No. That's why I actually had U-verse at one point in time, and there was a flood right by the U-verse box outside. Anytime it rained, signal would go out.
Really? Well, we've got underground lines. I guess that's why we're fancy out here.
Yeah.
Well, not all of us. Some of us still live in the poor neighborhood where they don't care about upgrading.
I don't know what to tell you. Maybe get a dish. Get a couple of them. Maybe convert the
dish internet would still be faster than John's.
Yeah, that's true.
That is true. That is true. Reminds me of old Brian Williams. So I want to mention that Netflix is raising their prices again, and a bunch of people are freaking out because it's going up like between a buck to $2. So I think highest plan is like $20 total. And I keep thinking, like, half the people I know say that they want all their movies and TV at home, which means, you know, they got to have money to pay for all that stuff. Don't you think this is going to happen at some point regardless? I mean, you're going to have to pay for it if you want a lot of stuff at home. That's just how it rolls, man.
And the real question is do you need it every month?
Yes.
Like, Ozark's coming out this month.
Yes.
So I'm going to wait 2 weeks. I'm going to pay whatever it is, $15, $20 for the month of February, and then I'm going to cancel it.
What?
Also, you don't have to be a bougie bitch. Like, you can just get the basic package for like $8 or $10. You do not have to spend $20. But I don't see what an extra $2 is. Yeah. I think the prices have raised a cumulative $4 or $5 in the past handful of years. And I still see more content on there, new content and old content that I revisit than any other streaming platform, and more than I go to the movie theater, which I also spend more than $20 a month to go with my A-list. So to me, it's still a win-win. I don't know why people are just, it's anything with change. It just feels like people want to complain about change.
Well, apparently Troy doesn't even want it. He's just like, I hate Netflix.
I mean, I've watched things on Netflix, but I don't think that there's anything on Netflix that I have to see except Cobra Kai and Stranger Things. And now maybe Ozark, because I just watched 2.5 seasons of Ozark in like a weekend.
They have like 10 shows or movies every single week. Disney Plus has like one.
I know, and I've watched Ozark for 1 week. So I don't have time to watch 10. I have time to watch one show.
Wow. If you stopped watching Tick, Tick, Boom so much, you'd have time for other things. Yeah, and so, also, so that's like, on Netflix.
So weird.
That's
all,
I was about to say, it's on Netflix. So
what are you going to do, man? You can't just buy it and watch it at home. You're going to have to pay
you've
that
been
20
busted.
Bucks.
Oh, you've been well, busted.
Did,
you've had
I
Netflix.
I did stop watching Tick, Tick, Boom because I'm watching Station 11 instead over and over and over again.
Well, that's a mistake on your part.
Yeah, that's just weird. John, I mean, I'm glad you guys enjoyed it. You and John both enjoyed that very, very much.
Very
I
much.
Took a great nap through part of it. I thought it was, you know, I slept well. And I think if that's what the show gave me, I think that's good. Rest.
I would say like through episode two, correct me if I'm wrong, John, through episode two, I kind of felt the same way.
You say this with every TV. God damn it, Troy.
You do.
Every
you
single
do
TV show.
You just
got to
get through
on,
six
whatever
episodes.
I could sit there and say, you know, I made it to episode 9 and I just couldn't get into it. Oh, it's episode 10. That's where it pops. You missed out.
So let me put it in perspective this way. If someone were to come up to you and say, in the olden days, when we used to watch ABC and NBC, there's a 3-night, 6-hour miniseries, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Are you going to watch Tuesday night and then not watch Wednesday and Thursday?
If it's boring, which this was, yeah.
Yeah, it happened.
But you know that it's only 6 hours. You know that
also,
you have to finish that the story
the
is a 6-hour
story.
We're in
2022. Yeah. We don't have to go by those.
I don't take a
structures.
Horse and buggy to work anymore either.
I'm just saying, if you knew that the story going in was 10 hours long and it's a 10-hour contained story, you either don't start it or you finish it.
You
no. don't
or
do
you get 2 hours
job.
In and you say, this yeah. isn't working for me. I have too much other content
yeah.
that's competing with this that I would rather spend my time on.
Well, she said, I stop that's where weird. I'm done. And I'm done.
I am
when I'm
normally
done.
Not like this, too. To preface, normally this is a whole Aaron problem where he's like, nah, it's not good enough because people are saying I really like it. But I try. I really.
Problem. I stop I where try. I stop enjoying it. That's it.
But it hasn't wrapped me in. But I can, you know, if it continues and it builds and you get into episode 4, 8, whatever, that it becomes impactful, then good on you for sticking it out.
Hey, I'm going to
you have good commitment.
I'm going to finish
episode 3
Station
introduces
11.
Like 4 new characters.
I'm going to probably try to get through one more episode. And that whole, oh, you got to get to 4. No, I will not. I've barely gotten to 2. So if I can't get through 3 and still want to see the next, what's next, I don't care anymore. And I won't. And this whole thing, well, you're missing out. I'm not missing out. There's 1,000 other shows that are really, really good out there that I'll be just fine by catching one of those. So you can't catch everything.
I'm just saying, you said you wanted to find joy and we gave you a show with joy and you still don't want to watch Joy.
That show has no joy so far.
Actually, okay, so well, let's.
When I get to episode 10, all the joy just comes pouring out of everywhere, right?
Kinda.
Okay. Hold on.
Yeah, you know the story said like okay, so we're gonna have like here's everything you need to know about Station 11.
No, we're kind of on episode. We're on the new year. That was the old year. We're on the new year.
It's still
now.
New year. It was still airing as of last week.
Yeah.
20 seconds. Sell your point so we can get to 2022. 20 seconds. Time.
John. No, you know what? Let's go to 2022 because when Troy started giving you the power push to watch this, I was like, this is not gonna work, Troy. And he kept going and I'm still thinking it's not going to work because he was pushing it way too hard. Now with me, all he said was, I think you're going to really like it. What you think is going on is just a MacGuffin. It's really about this. And I was like, okay. And I sat down and I watched it and I had I was like, wow, that's kind of bleak. And I watched the second episode. I'm like, that's still kind of bleak, but I'm really fascinated to know what's going on. Third episode sold completely. That's just me. I really dug it. You don't have to watch it. Can we move on now?
Absolutely.
And my issue, John, is I couldn't use that because that's exactly what I told Aaron was the island is the MacGuffin. It's not the story. So I already lost that argument. So I couldn't use that one on him. I had to find something else.
Hey, I'm going to get through episode 3 and then that's it. If it's great, I'll continue. If not, now we're going to get into our most anticipated TV shows of 2022. We're over 2021. I don't care when the finale came out. It's a 2021 show because Troy had it on his awards list for the 2021 TV show. So he can no longer count it. It's done. Now.
That's what we're telling you. Watch it and tell us if you like it or not.
We're done. Station 11. I don't want to hear about the show outsider. Again. I'm done. You're making me not want to watch it. You're making me hate the show and I haven't even gone back to it yet. Don't make me hate a show. It didn't do anything to me. It never touched me on the doll or anything. All right. So the most anticipated.
I should have said, do you want to go to that Packers game?
Most anticipated. I would not watch something I don't enjoy for any buddies, tickets. All right, maybe if it was like a championship game. Most anticipated TV shows of 2022. Each of our hosts have selected their top five most anticipated new TV shows of 2022. And we're going to kind of go through, give a description what the show is, what network it's going to be on, network, streaming network, TV, whatever, and the date that it airs if you have it. And we're going to go in order. So, Amanda, what are your top five most anticipated TV shows of 2022?
All right. So coming to Disney Plus with a date to be determined, but is expected mid-2022, is She-Hulk. It follows Jennifer Walters, who is played by the incredible Tatiana Maslany, as she acquires Hulk-like qualities after a blood transfusion.
Are we excited about She-Hulk? I think that's one of the few Marvel shows I'm looking forward to.
Well, we are excited for me and John.
Tatiana Maslany.
I am massively excited for that one. I can't wait for She-Hulk to come out. I love Tatiana Maslany, and I can't wait to see what she does. Like that.
Gave a little accent thingy to it. Uh-huh.
Maybe there's multiple She-Hulks. That would be even better.
Yeah, we want clones.
Maslany's involved, she could totally do like 10 different versions of She-Hulk.
That'd she be could. Amazing.
I think we're all on board with She-Hulk.
My next one is Monster, the Jeffrey Dahmer story, which is coming to Netflix. Another one where the date has not been released, but it's expected in spring of 2022.
I didn't know about
that. Evan Peters is portraying Dahmer in the story of the Milwaukee Monster, told from the perspective of the victims and police incompetency that allowed the Wisconsin native to go on a multi-year killing spree.
Yeah, when you told, when I thought the monster was actually the police who let the poor kid get beaten. Mm-hmm.
They are the monster. That's a horrible, horrible story. Where Amanda and I are in the Chicago area, so I mean, it's Troy is too. Where that's really, really, really home.
Hold up,
that's close to home.
I grew up,
yeah,
down the street from Jeffrey Dahmer. Okay,
like did he was you really?
Actively,
did you
I know was him? Actively like doing stuff when I lived in Milwaukee.
Did you guys ever get dinner?
No.
You meet up at one of the bars?
No.
Wow. No. Yeah, that's got to hit real close to you. If I lived down the street from Homeboy, I would not want to watch this stuff.
I would sell my
story. I
played
basketball in a gymnasium at a church that was right down the street from Homeboy.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Yes.
That's just... now I'm getting kind of chills.
That must have smelled nice.
What?
That must have smelled nice. Is that what you... Oh, God.
Oh, Pete, boy. Okay.
Pete, did you not shower today? It smells like rancid flesh.
Good God. So my next one is The Shining Girls, which is too coming far? To Apple TV Plus. Another one where the date has not been established. But it's about a serial killer in Chicago during the 1930s who stumbles upon a time-traveling device, which is just weird. It stars Philippa, Sue, Amy Brenneman, Jamie Bell, and Elizabeth Moss.
It's a great cast.
That's what drew me into it 100%.
Yeah, I like that.
My next one is The Midnight Club, which is coming to Netflix. Another one with the date that has not been released yet.
This
is
Mike Flanagan. Thank God I got a subscription. Oh, goodness.
That's two shows already. This is Mike Flanagan's new series, which is starring Zach Guilford. Primarily adapted from Pike's young adult novel of the same name, The Midnight Club is set to follow a group of 7 terminally ill young adults residing in the Rotter Dam Home Hospice, which is run by a strange and enigmatic doctor. When things begin to go wrong with the 7 children, they make a pact that the first one of them to die will be responsible with communicating with the rest of the group from beyond the grave, summoning strange occurrences once one of them passes away. So ultimate creep, and I'm real thrilled with Flanagan, anything he does.
That's intense.
I'm down for that.
Yeah, that's cool. That sounds like a very interesting story.
Definitely. And my 5th one is The Legend of Vox Machina, which is coming to Amazon Prime Video on January 28th, 2022. It's actually going to release weekly. This is based on the first campaign of Critical Role, which is a D&D web series with voice actors Matt Mercer, Ashley Johnson, Travis Willingham, Laura Bailey. God, I love her. She's beautiful. Liam O'Brien, Taliesin Jaffe, Marisha Ray, and Sam Riegel, who are all reprising their roles from the campaign. This is about a band of 8 unlikely heroes who find themselves on a quest to save the realm of Exandria from dark magical forces. I did have an opportunity to screen this. My review will be out on the 21st of January, but all I'll say right now is it is bloody, violent, adult content, hard R, lots of language, and a fantastic representation and adaptation of D&D onto an animated screen. John, I think you're going to just fall in love with this show.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this show. This is something that just... I'm not a fan of Critical Role because I just never really got into watching web series, but and watching other people play D&D doesn't really do anything for me. But I know a lot of people who I trust in the D&D realm who love this sort of thing, and I can't wait to see what they do. And the trailers for it are hysterical.
Yeah, yeah, it's funny, and all of these characters feel very authentic to how they were represented in the series, but. It feels like you're just watching a show that somebody came up with the script and said, all right, let's do this. But it's funny because a piece of it, so much of it is adapted from them just making good and bad roles, like in D&D. And you can feel those moments where like, okay, so this one, you know, this our rogue didn't do so great trying to pick that lock. And that's why we're here and they can't do it or they can't get the door open. And so those moments are really fun to a fan of D&D.
So, Troy, I can give you my subscription when that's on, because I'm not going to watch that.
Sounds like a plan. I'll take it.
Does Troy not have Amazon Prime?
Seriously, who doesn't have Prime?
Yes, yeah. It was a joke because of the Netflix joke. Okay, these are jokes. I mean, I know it's been a while since we've been together. This was a joke. This is when you try to make somebody laugh. And apparently, if it doesn't work, you just keep talking about how it didn't work just to try to get distance from the fact that it didn't work. That's what I'm saying.
But if Dexter's over, I will take your Showtime login.
I'm up. So my very first show that is coming out, let's see, it's coming out April 2022. This is a show that's created by the Russo brothers, coming out on Amazon Prime. Mm. It's a show called Citadel. It stars Richard Madsen, Priyanka Chopra, and Stanley Tucci. And it's like, I would love to tell you what this show is going to be about, other than the fact that it's going to be an action-packed spy series. That's all I got. They're keeping it pretty much under wraps.
So you're
sold. That's all I need.
Because Russo brothers, right? That's why you're sold?
Right.
Guys behind Endgame and Infinity War? Okay.
Yeah. Well, Priyanka Chopra and Stanley Tucci sell me also. And the Russo brothers. Richard Madsen, Madden, on the other hand, I just saw The Eternals over the weekend. Oh.
Yeah, it is Richard Madden. You said Madsen at first, and I'm like, maybe it's an actor I don't know about. So I'm glad you clarified that, because I was.
It is Richard Madden.
I'm like, there's another one. Please don't tell me he looks like the next James Bond too. Yeah, The Eternals is quite the snooze fest.
It really was. I don't know why that worked or not worked, but anyhow, on Disney Plus, I got Secret Invasion. Mm. So Fury, Talos, and a whole bunch of other people are trying to fight the Skrulls, who are infiltrated the highest spheres of the U.S. and the world governments. This is going to be coming out in late 2020, and we have Olivia Colman.
Hold up. I would appreciate it if you clarified to late 2022, because if it comes out in 2020, I am not revisiting that goddamn year ever again. Even if I have a time machine, I'm
Please
skipping
don't
right past
let us,
it.
Yeah, we're not time traveling there.
I totally meant late 2020 also.
It still would be the wrong year. 2022 is the year we are currently
in. Well, it's a joke.
In.
Two also can be also.
Oh.
So do you get it now?
It
was a
be
joke.
Wrong, though, because also. You didn't have the
God,
extra.
We suck at jokes today.
I don't know why we're doing a podcast.
Joke's on you all.
Anyhow, Kobe Smulders, Ben Mendelsohn, Samuel L. Jackson, Emilia Clarke, and Olivia Colman are all going to star on this one.
Oh, that's such a great cast.
Seriously.
Emilia Clarke is literally going to be in every single major franchise known to man, apparently.
And God bless her for it.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Totally I'm here for that. Anybody else? Anything? No jokes?
I'm just wondering, where's Sharon Carter? Like, why can't we get Sharon Carter more involved?
Yeah, that would be kind of nice too. All right, so also on Disney Plus, we have Obi-Wan Kenobi. It is scheduled to come out sometime in 2020 as well. 2022. Jeez.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Starring Ewan McGregor, Hayden Christensen, Joel Edgerton, and Bonnie Plyce? PC? I don't know.
I've heard
Anyhow,
it.
Anyhow, I've heard it. Yeah, that was just now. We're going to follow Obi-Wan as he's doing this whole swashbuckling Jedi thing throughout the galaxy.
Okay, pause. I'm kind of curious, who besides John is really excited about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Not I.
Troy? Raising your hand on a podcast doesn't do a great job. So what? why are you excited for Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Because I think it's I think the best part of the prequels was Ewan McGregor, and I think that he really did something cool with the role. So that's I'm curious to see what the story is that they're going to put him through in this iteration and what time period it's going to land in. So I think that it has enough intrigue to go, yeah, I really want to see that. Unlike a guy in a suit who falls down a pit who should have been digested. Don't want to see that.
Truth bomb.
Right. Who's like his Achilles heel is a stick and a moron.
We don't need that.
And he used a stormtrooper's helmet to climb out. I mean,
right.
Which isn't a spoiler. It's in the first episode. Don't send any hate mail.
That's true. So is it something that we're all on board that we're hoping Hayden Christensen gets to redeem himself? Or is it really his fault that he is in the pit of despair of acting to begin with?
I think that he should show up inside of the helmet and James Earl Jones does the voiceover.
That's James Earl Jones can barely breathe anymore.
That's messed up. I'm just like,
all of his words together like they already did in one of the other movies.
Sure. It's like a serious question though, because I mean, so many people are saying, well, you know, it's because of the writing that he did. He was not well received and everything. I'm like, I have rewatched the prequels. I will agree the writing is bad. I will also say he did not act well either. Can we just acknowledge he just wasn't good in that role at that time? Maybe he's matured now. He was better in other stuff after that, but he was not good in those prequels.
Oh, Jumper was fantastic.
It's a fun movie. Yeah, I like Jumper.
I want to really see him get a chance to redeem himself, but I'm excited because I want to see, it's finally a character from Star Wars that I care to see more about. And I think there should be more of that happening in the Star Wars world. All right. Following that up, also on Disney Plus, I have a lot of Disney Plus things, and I barely even turn that channel on.
I never turn that channel on.
Yeah. So it is scheduled to premiere in 2022 at some point. They haven't decided when yet, but we have Willow, which is going to be a sequel series to the movie from 1988. Warwick Davis is coming back. Of course he is, because he is the titular Willow character. But we have Aaron Kellyman, Ellie Bammer, and Tony Revoli also showing up. So it looks like it's gonna be a fun and interesting thing.
No interest fun on my part.
I feel like if Val Kilmer was still, obviously he's not in good shape right now or able to really contribute. I feel like that's one of those where a lot of people are probably going to be excited about it. I think families will probably love it. It's just something where I'm like, I was fine with it when it was over the first time. So I probably won't check it out, but I've seen a lot of people really excited about Willow coming back to some degree. So they love that world. They love the fantasy. You know, I hope it succeeds for what you want.
Yeah, that's my thing. I picked it because I'm really excited to see more good fantasy stuff come out. Hopefully good fantasy stuff. Speaking of which, September 22nd, 2022, we have Lord of the Rings coming out on Amazon Prime. It's going to be set 1,000 years before everything that you guys know from The Hobbit. It stars a cast of people that I've never heard of. And it's Lord of the Rings. And I hope and Amazon's been doing nothing but throwing dump trucks of money at it.
Like $1 billion.
Yeah.
I think what? 2 seasons is like $1 billion, if I remember correctly. Some astronomical number like that.
It's pretty ridiculous at how much money.
So I know you're a big fan. I'm a fan. Troy, you're a monster fan of Lord of the Rings. Are you stoked for Lord of the Rings? Are you nervous, stoked? Where do you land on a $1 billion show from Amazon Prime?
I am 100% behind all the sex and nudity and cussing that they're going to bring to Middle Earth. I am all for it.
It's going to be Euphoria in the Shire.
That's what Amazon does to everything, right?
Woo!
I mean, that's the biggest thing people are complaining about this series, is that it's going to be too Game of Thrones-ified, if you will. And I just think that people have to understand that this property, when it was designed to come to the screen, the conversation they had with the Tolkien people was that you can't retcon anything from the Third Age. So whatever you set up in this show has to play into what we have seen in the books, in the Peter Jackson movie, et cetera, et cetera. So this is the Second Age. This is not the Third Age. So stuff can be different in the Second Age. And there could be a little bit more risque in the Second Age. And that's okay. I think purists need to like get over themselves and understand that there was stuff that Tolkien did in the Third Age. This is somebody else's vision of the Second Age. As long as it fits the entire timeline perfectly, I'm up for whatever they show us, because we're going to see some pretty cool places and pretty cool scenery, because they are doing this back in New Zealand again. And there's a lot of interesting things that happen in the Second Age if you read the Silmarillion to know what's actually happening in the greater picture of Sauron and how he comes to power and the elves and why they're there in the first place. So I'm excited for these stories.
I can't wait to see the Hobbit whores.
Yep.
Jesus, man. Yeah, I really don't know what people want out of this. To be perfectly honest, I really don't know what you want to see that you haven't gotten in a million other fantasy shows. What are you hoping to get? Because really, Lord of the Rings is Sam and Frodo, and that journey's over. So what more do you want? Like, what you do you see, really you want to see?
You want to see young Elrond. You want to see the king. You want to see the men and the dwarves working together. You want to see the tribes actually doing what Middle-earth did in the Second Age that allowed Sauron to come to power in the first place. Like, those stories are interesting. It's the lore of the history of Middle-earth, and to see new territories that we haven't seen before.
Okay. Well, we'll definitely find out pretty quick what's going to happen and how it turns out. I'm sure it'll be magical. For $1 billion, it better be magical. You better believe you're in the Shire for $1 billion.
Yeah, no kidding.
It should be 3D.
It'll be a VR adaptation.
It should be 3D. Your TV can't do it, but it should still be 3D. Yep,
exactly. I want 4D. I want somehow they're going to like send someone to everybody's house. They're going to spray me with a water bottle when it's raining. Like, everything. I want to feel all of it for that much money.
Yes, in the time of still a pandemic, let's have people swing to your house and spray you with random
mask
moisture.
Mask up, everyone. Yeah.
This is for the full experience. All right, Troy, I think you're up.
I am up. Well, I'm going to start with the thing that's happening almost immediately after the release of this podcast. And I think it's the fourth week of January, and it's called As We See It. It's on Amazon Prime. And if you're a fan of Friday Night Lights or Parenthood and good old Jason Kadams, you're going to love this one, because it follows three 20-somethings who each are on the autism spectrum as they move into a house together to help each other with their life goals and grow as people.
Oh,
I mean, yeah. Total cry fest, I'm sure. 100%. I think it's going to be a lot of overcoming. The trailer is hysterical. There's lots of great lines in there. My only fear about this one is that they don't portray autism and Asperger's the right way. So it's got to walk a really fine line with this one to pull it off. So hopefully things will work itself out in that regard.
Do we know they're using actually afflicted actors, right? Or no?
I did not dig in further to find out. That was my next step, because I was just watching the trailer this morning.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
As We See It.
As We See It. Okay. Noted for myself.
Second one I have should come as no surprise, but HBO and HBO Max, supposedly the first half of the year, is The Last of Us. One of the best-selling video game franchises of all time is now a TV show. And this is shaping up to see Ellie and her band of adult watchers take on the mutated humans as they look for a cure. So it's not quite The Walking Dead, but it's very similar in nature of some kind of virus mutates humans. And Ellie is supposedly the one person who can cure the disease. And how are they going to get her to the people that can help make that happen?
Are you concerned they're going to, and I won't say anything about, I'm not spoiling anything, I promise. I'm just asking a general question, because with that game, the ending is very, very, very powerful. Are you concerned at all that they're going to change the ending because of TV, or no, not at all?
I think this is the question with this, is that there's two games now, and game one obviously flows directly into game two. So I'm curious to find out how close to the content they stay, and will that actually make me not like it, because I already played it and I already watched it, so I don't want to watch the exact same thing. So I'm hoping there's some variation and some changes that would be a surprise. At the same time, if they're going to continue this on, like they say they're going to, I don't know how you change the ending.
Okay. I would be of the same mindset. Like, I definitely want some tweaks. I want some new ideas here and there, probably some new characters maybe but you don't need to add more. Even at 10 hours, it's still not even a third of how long that game is.
Right.
But it does end powerfully. So I think that's kind of important. If you're gonna do it.
I think the biggest question is going to be more around the actors they chose to play the parts.
I'm not concerned about that.
They got
They got Ramsay and they got the Mandalorian. They'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it Bella? Sure. What the hell was her name? Yeah. What's that? From Game of Thrones. Ah, what's her character's name? It's Ramsay, right?
Yeah, the young child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, what's next?
Next one is actually probably a service we don't talk about a lot, and hopefully you can get it on BritBox because it's coming out on BBC One in Q4, and that's Inside Man. And I bring this one up because Stephen Moffat specifically is teaming back up with, yes, people, David Tennant once again for a show that sounds like a joke, literally. It follows a prisoner on death row, a vicar in an English town, a math teacher trapped in a cellar, and they walk into a bar. No, I'm just kidding. But they do cross paths in most interesting ways. So I'm really excited to watch David Tennant and Stephen Moffat team up again, obviously from Doctor Who fans. And literally, how does all this come together? It sounds like an Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt kind of scenario, but maybe in a little bit more serious tone.
It's also got Stanley Tucci. Yeah, that David Tennant and Stanley Tucci sells me. I don't really care what it's about. I'll watch it.
You had me at David Tennant.
Yeah, David Tennant, for sure.
David Tennant has three shows coming out this year.
I'm going to watch all
involved in three shows this year. It's the year of David Tennant.
They're doing Good Omens, too. That's a series I'm like, you don't need more of that, but somehow I'm really excited that they're going to make more of that, and I don't know why they would do more of that, but I want more of that.
Give me more Azrael any day of the week.
Mm-hmm. That was a fun show.
Next up, we have Star Trek Strange New Worlds. It was told to us that it's supposed to be coming in 2022 after Picard airs earlier in the year, and this is going to be right in this time frame. Because Discovery is out checking out the 3200s at this point. Picard is creeping up on 2500. So Strange New Worlds is going to go back to just before Kirk, when the NCC 1701 No Bloody A, B, C, D, or E existed. And it's one of the first five-year missions of the Starship Enterprise with Captain Pike at the helm. And this is a direct spinoff from Discovery Season 2.
First Star Trek show I'm going to watch. Since the original Star Trek.
You didn't even watch Next Generation?
I watched the first season and then said, I'm good.
See, if you just would have stuck it out till the end of season two, you would have
been
good.
I know. That's really all I needed to do. I needed to get 27 more episodes. I finally would have been on board with that show.
And the premiere of season three, because it's a two-part cliffhanger.
Of course.
How
could I ever think otherwise? But this has Anson Mount in it from Hell on Wheels, and I freaking love Anson Mount. So I am on board just to see him. I've heard his Pike is just a fantastic character, and I assume it has to be because he got a spinoff out of it.
Rebecca Romijn is in it as well.
Cool. So. It's got Anson Mount. That's all I need to know. I'm not knocking her. She's fine, but she's not Anson Mount.
Just saying. And finally, we have The Time Traveler's Wife on HBO Max, adapted again by Stephen Moffat from the beloved novel of the same name. The Time Traveler's Wife follows the intricate and magical love story between Claire, played by Rose Leslie of HBO's Game of Thrones, and Henry, who was Theo James, who was in the Divergent series. It's basically a marriage with a problem, time travel.
Wasn't that already a movie with like Rachel McAdams?
Mm-hmm.
It was a movie.
Yes.
And now we're getting it as a TV series.
Oh, man. I like Rose Leslie, but you know Rachel McAdams. You know what I'm saying?
I was just thinking that, like, if they would have used Rachel McAdams, I'd probably be more interested.
In Swoonville?
That, too.
You ever notice she's been in a lot of time-traveling stuff? Dr. Strange.
There was a meme where it's like a whole
is there a meme?
Set, yeah.
It's always a meme. I'm always so behind.
There is a meme.
Yeah.
Been a lot of time travel stuff. Well, that's cool. I mean,
I guess there's a meme.
I remember the story vaguely. I remember watching the movie, but I don't remember it. It obviously didn't impact me too much. So I remember the kind of the loose details of it. I think it could be an interesting series.
Well, I mean, you have to actually watch the series. You can't do two episodes on an HBO Max show and quit. So
yes, I can. I don't understand why you think this is a problem. If I'm not happy, why do you keep watching stuff you don't like?
Why do you want him to be miserable?
Why do you keep watching things you don't like? Do you watch things you don't like?
It makes him happy.
How does that make anyone happy?
It just makes you feel unhappy?
When you watch two episodes of something that you know is a 10-episode story, it's like judging a book by its cover. You didn't give it a fair shake.
Sometimes the cover tells you all you need to know. Sometimes the jacket is everything
that's
you
not
need to
the,
know.
I was going to say,
but then
also,
you wouldn't
that's
watch
not
two
the,
episodes and give up. You would just wouldn't start
like,
it over.
That's not the cover. That's like three chapters in. You're like, wow, this writing is just shit. I'm not going to keep reading it.
That's like 50 Shades of Grey. I read a chapter and realized this is a horrible writer. She should not be writing books. And then I couldn't understand why it was so popular. But then you get to the naughty bits and like, oh, I get it. People are horny.
Well, the naughty bits come in episode 3 and 4.
Just saying. Jesus Christ. You got a problem. Was that your last one?
Yes, that is 5.
Okay. So my first one is Reacher, coming out on Amazon Prime February 4th. It's based on Lee Child's novel Killing Floor, which is the first Jack Reacher book I ever read. And Reacher stars Alan Ritchson as retired major in the military police, Jack Reacher. It's a man who now just wants to see the world on his own terms. When he stumbles into Margrave, Georgia, and is immediately suspected of murder before things get very personal, Jack Reacher takes it upon himself to uncover a shady organization and burn it to the ground. I have an advantage here because I've already seen the first season. I've already screened it because we actually coming out the week it releases. We have an interview with Alan Ritchson, who plays Jack Reacher, and I'll review it in full there, but I'm embargoed right now. All I'll say is, it's awesome. That's all I'm going to say. I'm just going to hint. Just give you a little hint. It's awesome. So that's my first one. I don't do this with shows very often, but I've talked this up a lot. And I just want to know, do you guys still want to see it? Or have I done what Troy does and just made you never want to watch Jack Reacher?
Well, see, what happened was, no, I really want to see it.
The trailer came out and that made me not want to watch it. I felt like it was way too campy.
I will tell anyone that watched the trailer, that is not a fair representation of the show, because I would agree with Troy 100%. It does. That's what I was very worried about. And it is not that show.
I'm interested. I'll give it a shot.
I'll watch 2 episodes.
But Troy,
you'll hit it and quit it.
Yeah, it's an 8-episode story. So if you leave end, then really you're breaking your own rule.
I just won't start it because the trailer said it was campy. Jeez. Why should I believe you? You don't believe me.
And I got to tell you.
You could go die now.
His arms in this show, when I was interviewing him, you know, I was trying not to look at his arms because it's a video interview. But all I kept thinking was, he is a marble statue of a man. And there were those guns, both completely loaded right in front of me. Just like, pow, pow. You know, like Henry Cavill and that gif. Yeah, Hobbs and Shaw. Just ready to gun it out. It was great. Super. Okay, well, next, Inventing Anna. A journalist with a lot to prove investigates the case of Anna Delvey, the Instagram legendary German heiress who stole the hearts of New York's social scene and stole their money as well. Comes February 11th to Netflix, and it's got Julia Garner in it from Ozark.
I am so effing sold just by having Julia Garner.
Yeah.
That alone just does it.
She's
for me.
A great actress. She really is. She's an up-and-comer, too. Okay, Moon Knight. Oscar Isaac, with a weird British accent, straight from Mary Poppins, stars as a former U.S. Marine struggling with dissociative identity disorder. He's granted the powers of an Egyptian moon god, but he soon finds out that these newfound powers can be both a blessing and a curse to his troubled life. Also stars Ethan Hawke and hits Disney Plus March 30th. The trailer just landed a couple days ago. It's just what I wanted. I was a big fan of the comic as a teen. It's a crazier, darker Marvel. It's not very reminiscent of a lot of what you've seen of Marvel. I hope they really stick to that, because the trailer gave me a lot of hope for what we've got to come.
Yeah, I was very happy to see what they did in the trailer. I don't have a lot of experience with Moon Knight, but I am excited to see something a little bit different coming out of Marvel.
All right. Two left of me. One, you know, this is the one where you're going to tell people you want to see it, and half of your friends are going to be like, I never want to see one of those again. It ruined my childhood, even though I was an adult when I watched it. House of the Dragon, which is a spinoff of Game of Thrones. This story of the House Targaryen, set 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones. That's all we know. It's set 200 years before the events. And it arrives in 2022 on HBO Max, starring the likes of Matt Smith and Olivia Cooke, but they're all going to die, so it really doesn't matter. That's the show that's coming out. Regardless of what you thought of the Game of Thrones ending or the final season, are you excited to see what's next in Game of Thrones? Or are you kind of, I don't need any more of that show. I kind of got what I needed.
You're saying what was, not what's next.
True. Yeah. What was. Yes. Yeah.
I got what I needed out of Game of Thrones. I'm ready to move on to new and different things.
Really?
Well, yeah, it's the one thing that's, for whatever reason, I'm not really excited for. I actually had no problem with how the series ended. I enjoyed the last season. I don't I don't need to see anymore. Like I'm actually a little over prequels at this point, because I always feel like with a prequel, you're going to, it's finding out a deeper idea of what a story is, but then you're going to be like, well, yeah, this is what's going to happen next because it relates to this story that I already watched. And if they can't make it to this story without this happening, it's a whole thing.
Can I just point out, you have Obi-Wan Kenobi and Lord of the Rings both on your list?
It's not a prequel.
Obi-Wan Kenobi is a prequel to the modern trilogy, or to anything current.
And it has to fit into the universe.
And it has to fit. Lord of the Rings has to fit. I'm just saying, I'm just making a case. Maybe House of the Dragon would be worth a look-see. That's all I'm saying.
Maybe. Or maybe I couldn't think of a really good reason why I'm not that interested beyond, like, you know what? I got a whole new list of shit I want to see next year.
Okay.
I'm a man of principle, so because I said I'm really interested in seeing the history of the Lord of the Rings and how it ties in, I will also watch this because I'm interested in seeing the history and how it ties in.
Maybe I just don't want to.
And that's okay, John. It's okay to just not want to. You don't always have to have a reason.
Yeah.
Jesus.
You're the one that went on and on and on about it. I'm just saying, you could have just, I just don't want to watch it. That's all I got to say. Bye. Just walked away.
Well, I started off by saying, I got what I wanted out of it. And you're like, oh yeah, well, why is that? Okay, well, now I got to make something up.
And then you called me out on it. Jeez. I wouldn't say that I'm looking forward to it, but I'll watch it. I mean, I'm still going to give it a go, but it's not on my most anticipated list. If I were to make a top 10, it probably wouldn't fall on mine, but I am willing to watch it and see where it goes.
All right. Well, my last one, I can't do that song, but Halo. It's about aliens who threaten human existence in an epic 26th century showdown. It's a TV series based on the video game Halo, and arrives in 2022 at some point on Paramount Plus. They had a teaser trailer. You got to see a helmet. That's cool. So I'm just hoping that there's a story here that's really going to captivate people. Otherwise, I think gamers are going to lose their minds if that ends up being a horrible series or something. But I'm pretty excited about it.
Unless this is done in VR with a first-person experience like the game would be, I'm out.
What? Why?
Because no one needs to see a first-person shooter as a game or as a TV show.
Isn't Last of Us on your list? I can't with you people anymore. Like, what the hell is your logic?
First of all, it's not a first-person shooter. It's a third-person perspective.
Oh, my God,
and
it's also not a shooter, and there's
a story involved, and it goes over two games.
If you go tell a Halo fan there's no story, watch them teabag you, really, is what they're going to do.
Watch them move out of their parents' basement to tell you exactly how there is a story.
Wow.
Okay, so I have a serious question about this, just because I've not had any interest and I haven't paid attention to it.
Sure.
Is it going to be like an animated show, or is it a live action show?
No, it's live action. They're actually going to shoot live it in space. Show. Yeah.
Yeah. And Porn Stash is Master Chief.
I'm sorry, what?
Who's Porn Stash?
Porn Stash from Orange is the New Black. He's Master Chief.
Nobody knows who that is.
Pablo Shriver, Lee Shriver's younger brother.
Names are cool. Names always help. I'm just saying.
His name was Porn Stash on freaking...
Was it?
Whatever.
I knew who you were talking about. I just didn't know the actor's name because I only knew it was Porn Stash.
I watched two seasons of that show, I think. So I don't...
He was on all the seasons.
Sorry. It didn't,
that you watched.
Didn't register. Didn't calculate. Didn't leave a imprint, if you will. Well, you want to hear what a listener top 10 anticipated TV shows of 2022 are?
No.
Good.
Sure.
Okay. Obi-Wan Kenobi is number one. I'm going 1-2-10. Number two, Stranger Things season 4, because that is coming out. Lord of the Rings. Then you got Mandalorian season 3. June 3rd, we got The Boys. I'll give you a date if I have a date. Only one of them have a date that we haven't already talked about. Peacemaker, which is already out. So you've got three or four episodes, I think, now that you can enjoy.
Three.
There will be. By the time they listen to this, there'll be four.
Fine.
Only Murders in the Building, season 2, which is coming out. Moon Knight, of course. The Umbrella Academy, season 3. And then House of the Dragon. So there's your listener top 10. Any honorable mentions? The only one I want to mention is, I don't have it on my most anticipated because the news just came out. I don't know if it's actually going to be this year or next year for sure. But there is a Justified City Primeval, which brings Raylan Givens back to TV for a limited series on FX. So whenever that is, it is officially my most anticipated TV show of that particular year.
With our man, with the Oliphant.
Timothy Oliphant returns. No word on Boyd Crowder, though. Any other Waiting honorable mentions?
And anticipating.
I want to bring up, as an honorable mention, Archive 81 that just released this last week on Netflix. That show was something pretty special. I sat down and watched it this weekend. So it counts. And I don't know why I couldn't bring it up for the rest of it. It was something I didn't expect. And I just watched it for the hell of it. As far as I had no background on it. The first episode, I noticed that James Wan is one of the producers of it. And if I were to describe it for you, it's basically if you were a fan of the Black Tapes podcast or the Tannis podcast, this is the show for you. It is really well done.
I would say X-Files-ish.
Yeah, that too.
Nope. Oh, the Queen of the Honorable Mentions doesn't have an honorable mention? Like, I'm shocked.
Well, we talked about 20 freaking shows. I mean, we covered a lot of bases.
For those of you that don't know, Aaron specifically told us to not pick shows in our top five that were part of the list, and only Amanda and I followed the directions.
That's
just
true.
Just for the record.
But I also said TV is not as, because there's a lot less to pick from in new shows, but in the movies, the top 10 list is 100% covered when we get to listeners on the
movie.
There's
30 shows on BBC, just saying. Get that box. It's good.
It's fair.
Honorable mentions. This show that aired the chunk of it in 2022, so I would highly recommend watching Station 11. But in seriousness, The Orville, New Horizons. So it is a new name, same cast. So is it really new or is it not new? But season three of The Orville is coming.
I mean, you just said season three, so that would be a returning show. But if you can't wait till we get to returning shows, that's fine.
But it's a new title, so.
Okay.
Sex and the Farland doesn't care. It's just coming back. Orville's awesome.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay. I like how you got a Station 11 plug in there.
He's just doing the most.
Let it freaking go. You're making people never want to watch the show. Any returning shows you're extremely excited for? John, you go first. What, anything returning you're stoked for?
Nothing that we haven't mentioned before. The Boys season three, can't wait. Stranger Things, all those shows. I mean, there's nothing new and exciting that I can mention that hasn't already been brought up by the list.
I'll add Euphoria to the list, which is currently airing. Westworld season four is coming. Killing Eve, the final season, is coming. Roy Kento season three is coming. Good Omens and Picard.
You say Roy Kento. Well done. Okay, so I've got Ozark, which Amanda's already seen. She's going to talk about that pretty shortly. But also the part two, which is coming later in 2022. I really want to see how Ozark wraps up. Stranger Things, of course. Witcher season three, if it happens to get here by December. I know they're filming in March, so I don't know. That's a lot of effects that are in there, but I would love to see that. I think it's great for that time of year. Cobra Kai, I'm hoping it comes, you know, New Year's Eve again. I would love to have just another whole day of ass kickery, and that's about it for me.
On my list, a lot of these are not confirmed, but are more than probable. Invincible, possibly Charmed. I'm not sure how I sit on that because one of the main actresses has left the show. And so I just started, like, I gave it a chance. I started watching it. I started to dig it. And then that happened. And I'm like, ah, she was my favorite. That's a bummer. Sex Education, Dead to Me, Russian Doll, Virgin River, Never Have I Ever, You, Shadow and Bone, and Sweet Tooth. Again, a lot of these have not had a confirmation, but following the historical trajectories of when they launch them and many of them being in production, there's a good chance that they'll show up in 2022.
Excellent. All right. Well, remember, you can always find more information at thehollywoodoutsider.com. Join our Facebook group. We're on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. You can share any of your thoughts on this episode or anything else at thehollywoodoutsider.com is our website again. And our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Want to make sure and say thank you to our Patreon supporters. Our show is independently funded. Therefore, all the expenses are from our own pockets. And Patreon helps fans support their favorite podcasts. You get a bonus episode. Depending on the tier you're in, there's actually two bonus episodes a month, depending on which tier you select. But once you sign up, you get immediate access to all the content in your respective tier. And it's available at patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. That's patreon.com/thehollywoodoutsider. Where Troy and I just spent a good hour talking about Don't Look Up and ended up being a real political discourse on the world at large, which We never talk about politics on the show, so I hope nobody quits the podcast over because we got into it. Okay, spoiler for reviews, and then we're going to get into the most anticipated movies. But the first review is for Scream, the new version. So Scream 2022.
Scream 5, basically.
Yeah.
That we couldn't just add the number after.
No, they're trying to reinvent it. It's a recall.
It's actually in the front. The S is a 5 in reverse.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, I don't think they caught that, but thanks for letting them know.
It was on some marketing material I saw at one point. I was like, oh, that's kind of clever.
No, that
oh,
was
really?
That
I
was
hadn't
what
seen that.
Some it was fan art. That wasn't their art.
It was fan art?
Yep.
Uh-oh. What is that? It's a Z. It looks like a 2. No, that's a Z.
So this one is 25 years after a streak of brutal murders shocked the quiet town of Woodsboro. A new killer dons the ghost face mask and begins targeting a group of teenagers to resurrect secrets from the town's deadly past. This is now directed by Matt Beninelli Ulpin and Tyler Gillett. And it has some of the legendary OGs, like we have Neve Campbell, we have Courtney Cox, David Arquette, but we also have some of our new faces, which are Melissa Barrera, Mason Gooding, Jenna Ortega. Whoa, we love her. And Jack Quaid. My first question to you, Aaron, is do you feel like, because we did not need this. We didn't need this. A lot of us really enjoyed
season. Shut your mouth. We needed this. The world
needed
this.
Okay, after Scream 4, though, at the end of that one, did you really feel like I need more right now? Like I need more from this?
No. In fact, especially after this one came out, I did research on 4, and I really, really prefer the original ending that Kevin Williamson had written. Did you know this?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah,
where
we talked about
the
this.
Actual, but a lot of people might not. The hospital scene at the end wasn't actually there, and it ended with Jill surviving and Sydney seeming to have died, and then a paramedic telling another character that we have a female survivor, and it was actually going to be Kirby. Kirby was going to live. But they didn't say if that actually alluded to did Sydney survive or not. That would be in 5 and 6. So I kind of wish we would have got that, but we didn't. So I just went on. I just told you that for no reason other than it was a cool fun fact that I found out and I wish we would have got that movie. So,
but
no,
at the same time, good. You came into this with kind of the thought of I didn't really need this, but I'm now excited for it.
I'm
and
out
so did
nothing.
Did it live up to your expectations as a longtime Scream franchise fan?
Exceeded them, honestly. I really. If they would have completely reinvented it and did not have the legacy characters, as they like to call them, of Dewey and Gale and Sidney Prescott, I probably would have been less, I would have had less expectations, but because they brought them into it, I really had high expectations. And this was not directed by Wes Craven. So obviously he passed away. They even have an allegory to Wes Craven in the show. They have a lot of nods to his movies and whatnot.
Yeah, tons of homages. Yeah.
So my expectations were raised quite a bit because they were in it and they still exceeded it. Mm-hmm. I think they really did a great job of capturing or recapturing Wes Craven's vision of Woodsboro and the town. And Ready or Not is a great horror movie. If you've never seen that one, please check that one out.
Absolutely.
Too. So I think they really nailed it. The only thing about the story that really bugged me is why do people still live in Woodsboro? Because move. I don't care if it's been a quarter of a century. Get out. Nobody should live there. This is a horrible place to live. And
you just burn the town down.
Something, man. I mean, I get it. Every town has murders. Okay. But every dude in Ghostface, that's very uncommon. Move. So I liked
that's
it.
Fair.
That's what I'm saying.
That's
I like
fair.
The story.
Now, speaking of the story, this is not written by Kevin Williamson. The screenplay was done by James Vanderbilt and Guy Busick. What did you think about, because so much of this is trying to, I don't want to say replicate, but in a way replicate some of the...
It is. Recapture.
Yeah. Yeah. Recapture the magic of the original from Craven and Williamson. But now we have new directors. We have new screenwriters. There's a duo for both categories there. I mean, were you... Was there anything in the screenplay that stood out to you as, wow, I can't believe they actually managed to get this right?
There's several things I think they got right that I was kind of leery on. They managed to go against the grain on a couple things. I don't want to say specifically how, but the opening results are a little different than typical. There are major character impacts that were kind of shocking to some degree. And the deaths, I think, are ratcheted up. Like, they are very, very brutal. And I think that was needed. And not to the point where it's just super gory, just that they're intense. Like, you feel the impact on several of them. I mean, there's, you know, broken ankles and things. I mean, just things that really, really make an impact in terms of, oh, got me with that. You know, just very
right.
intense. And there is a lot of that throughout the film. I'm trying very hard not to obviously say specifics for sure. The only thing I would probably say as a critique is once you get to the end, motivations are, but it's one of those things on a screen movie, I kind of ride with it. So it didn't bother me so much as if you say so. I mean, it's kind of where I was at with the final act.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I don't want us to spoil anything at all. I just want to ask you, were you surprised by the result of Ghostface?
Yes.
Okay. That's all I need to know. Yep. That's it. My final question for you is actually.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I did love how they concluded, though. The conclusion, so much of it is paying respect to this franchise that has changed horror movies and Wes Craven and the stories that live within these stories. You know, it's a little meta in ways because they introduced the Stab movies Scream. And so they're tying that into it. You know, that is relevant to the story of this movie in some respect. And I thought that was done really well.
Well, but and there's some clever, you know, very meta references where they reference Stab 8, who they say was directed by that Knives Out guy, who also yeah. famously directed The Last Jedi, which is another sequel that kind of went against expectations. So,
yeah. And the rules where they introduce rules the way that the first does and the second does.
Oh, very much.
You know,
so.
It's I mean, just, yeah, it's it made you really love and miss Randy more than anything.
I did love Randy. The only thing I will say is, there's been much made about them kind of reinventing the wheel I don't think they rejigger it as much as they think they do. It felt very much like a Scream movie. I didn't really think they changed anything up too greatly. I like the nice combination of paying respect to the legacy characters while also carving a niche for your new cast, you know? So by the end, you have a new cast. You can move on if you want to.
Yeah. And speaking of that, because we are so bonded to our original characters and actors, how'd you feel about the screen time that they get in ratio to the screen time and performances of our new cast?
I think they gave everybody the respect they needed. That's all I'm going to say.
That's a great way to put it, 100%. Mm-hmm. So if the full price of admission were $10, what would you pay for Scream 5?
$7.50. What about you?
I would give it $8.50. I've seen it twice, and I did miss a very critical moment the first time around because I had to go to the bathroom. And the second time that I saw the movie, I made sure that I didn't move from my seat.
You just peed right on it? You just peed in the
seat?
Yeah,
100%. Yeah, I like it. Urinated everywhere.
That's why they gave you those plastic straws.
And it was worth it. It was so worth it. That was a moment that I can't believe I missed. And I'm so glad that I got to experience it in its entirety, the film in its entirety. And it continued to live up to my expectations from the first viewing. So it wasn't just nostalgia.
Excellent. All right, well, that's Scream. And now we've got Ozark Season 4, Part 1, which comes out on January 21st.
Well, if Ozark is a new name to many of you, which it was not to me. I just never had time to see it. So I am currently still trying to finish Season 3. As I try to lead Amanda through this conversation of things I want to know nothing about, because I'm still not
done with
the third season.
I will try to be very delicate.
That was very intentional because I want to make sure that no details are given out because the season's upcoming. So you're going to have to be very spoiler free, Amanda. Enjoy this.
Okay.
But I believe when we last left, the Bird family, which obviously is Jason Bateman and Laura Linney. Laura Linney in Season 3 is obviously taking over the business in ways that are probably going to put the family in trouble. She's definitely gaining power in the dynamic. And my first question to you, Amanda, is Laura Linney just batshit crazy in this new season? And has she really become the star of the show and outshine Jason Bateman in this final first part.
Okay, so there's two things that I want to address there. The first being Laura Linney is, to me, she's the equivalent of, and I can't remember her name for the life of me, but the Breaking Bad, the wife. I can't remember her name.
Anna Gunn.
Yes, she was one where you just hated her character. You know, you didn't think she could get as awful as she was. And then you're like, I can't stand you. I really just can't stand you. And that's how Laura Linney's character is for me, Wendy. I just cannot stand her. She's impulsive and she makes crass decisions without communicating with anybody. And the ramifications of that, she just doesn't seem to care about. So yes, she's still that person, you know, that we get to know, and the implications of her decisions that she makes on behalf of everyone, where it's just like, I'm just doing what I feel I need to do. You know, that's what it is. But to the second part of your question, you mentioned, does she outshine Jason Bateman's Marty? And the thing that I find most interesting about this season is in previous seasons, I felt like she really started to take over. She really started to outdo, in terms of performance, Jason Bateman, which was huge. And it was mostly just because of how diabolical they got her character. This season, this part one of season four, is, if you want to talk about who gives the best performance, it is 100% Julia Garner, which is saying a lot because she's already given us so many wonderful performances. But I truly feel like there's one scene in particular in this season where all-time best performance. Like, I was, my jaw dropped because she was so tremendous. So she really takes the reins as being what I care most to watch in this show.
And Julia Garner's character is
Ruth Langmore.
Yep.
So the curly headed blonde.
For sure. The kids have been an interesting thing. I love how the kids have actually kind of grown up and become part of the business in a way, especially their son. Like, do the kids have any more to do in this first part of season four than they have in the past?
I am so thankful that they actually addressed this, because in the first couple of seasons, it felt like they were just there to exist as, you know, to cause more conflict for the birds and more considerations. They're finally at I don't want to say an adult enough age. Charlotte is obviously old enough where she can really take things on, and she does get her own independence here. Sophia Hublitz does a great job with her character. But what I really enjoy for Jonah's character, played by Skylar Gartner, is he's really struggling here with his morality. You know, as a 14-year-old kid, he's sitting here watching all of the things around him, and he hasn't really figured out what's right and wrong for him. But what he knows is the ramifications of what happened in last season, in season three, and I won't specify anything. But there's something that occurs that really sticks with him, and it impacts him. And so it's his journey and his arc is, you're following him to figure out, where is he going to land? Where's his respect and his loyalty?
And then location has always been a big thing. And the show obviously takes place in Lake of the Ozarks in Missouri. It's got that very blue hinted to hue to it. In the first two seasons, brightens up a little bit, obviously, in the third season with the casino opening. Are there any other cool locations that we're going to see? Obviously, we have backstory in Chicago, backstory down in Mexico. Like, where are we going in this journey in season four?
The majority of it is taking place in Missouri, so you're very blue huey, but you do get a couple of great scenes, especially in the first episode, where it is more brightened, and even some of the scenes in Missouri are a little bit lighter in terms of the visual when we are around the Navarro family, which are the head cartels, where we have Omar, and then we are introduced in this season to his nephew, Javi. And so whenever those two are around, especially when we're in Mexico, it is very vibrant, which is very authentic, I think, to the culture. It's just very bright and beautiful. But it's also, they have so much, I don't know, they're partiers, you know, they're going to have great things to look at. Whereas Missouri is just what I call misery. Like, it just looks awful. Nobody wants to be in Missouri. And so those are kind of the only two locations you get to look at. But it's reminiscent of how dark, dour, and how filled with stakes this season is.
does it end at a point in part one where you can definitively say part two is just going to be amazing? Because you made a reference to Breaking Bad already, and I feel like this is a show that has never been able to shake its comparison to Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's fair.
Since it ever first came out. So does this first part finally say, yes, Ozark is its own thing? And does it shake that Breaking Bad mentality, setting up part two to be just something completely we haven't seen before?
I don't think so. This very much feels like this. I don't want to say it feels like the same show we've been watching, but it kind of is. Like, it, nothing feels in production quality or even story feels that much different. But that's also attributed to the great writing that we've had historically. Every season has amped up the stakes. This one continues to do so. You're still going to have moments in this season where you're like, holy shit, I can't believe they did that. I can't believe that happened. And where they leave you at the end of this one is, it feels very much so like you just completed a season and you're ready for the finale of this part two. But at the same time, you're kind of left like, I cannot wait to see what happens next now.
Well, those are the things I think we live for the show. Because I remembered seeing Dale's death in the first season, and I was just like, I've seen a lot of death on TV in a lot of different ways, and the gruesomeness that we've seen in The Red Wedding and Game of Thrones. And I was even like shocked at Dale's death. I was like, holy crap, did that just happen?
Yeah.
So I think that's the number one reason why we watch the show is what is the unexpected thing that's going to happen that's just going to make your jaw hit the floor. And sounds like season four is going to bring a few of those. So Full Price of Admission, part one of the final season of Ozark. What say you, Amanda?
I say 750, and you can read my full review, which is still spoiler free, on the website at thehollywoodoutsider.com if you're interested. It comes out on January 21st, 2022, only on Netflix.
All right. Well, before we get to our most anticipated movies, we have The Addams Family 2 to talk about. The Addams Family is back with an all-new spooktacular adventure featuring an all-star cast and all-new bonus content. The Addams Family 2 is yours to own, now on Blu-ray and DVD. I know several people who've already caught this, and they love the movie. Their family loved the movie. So go get one now. Also, if you want a chance to win your own Blu-ray combo pack, share this podcast episode with your friends and email us a screenshot of that share with your name to contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com, and you will be entered to win one of five combo packs. If you're also a Patreon supporter, be sure to mention that for an additional entry to win. That's contests@thehollywoodoutsider.com. We must receive it by January 26th, and you have to live in the U.S. due to shipping. Now let's go to our most anticipated movies, and much like we did TV, we're going to do movies. Each host select their top five most anticipated movies of 2022. Now, some of the big ones will be part of our listener top 10. I've already got those pre-selected, so nobody has those on their list. These are just the ones outside of that top 10. So Batman is coming up. Don't worry. Nobody forgot about it. Let's start with Amanda.
So the first one that I have is one that is premiering at South by Southwest. I know Aaron and I are very excited. That's why
it's on there, right? You're like, if I put this on, I must see. They have to have the festival.
They have to let me see it.
I'm a Chrono Delta it. You can't do anything to cancel.
No, they cannot. It's officially mentioned on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, so of course they're obliged to keep it on there.
You're right, because when we did our 2020 most anticipated movies, that wasn't affected at all. All those movies came out exactly as scheduled.
Okay, let's not jinx it. We're still only 2 months away. So Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. First of all, I love this title, and it comes out March 25th, 2022. It's directed by Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert. Collectively known as Daniels, the film is a hilarious and big-hearted sci-fi action adventure about an exhausted Chinese-American woman played by Michelle Yeoh who can't seem to finish her taxes. And the really great production still that we've seen for it just makes me laugh so much because I want to know what they're reacting to. They're obviously scared or like fighting something. They've got something going on. I love that there's blood happening about a story of a woman who can't get her taxes finished.
It's an interesting and intriguing dynamic. The trailer is wild. The trailer is absolutely wild. It looks fascinating.
Yeah, full disclosure, I did not watch the trailer because I don't want to know anything. He's just doing yoga.
That sounds great.
It's Michelle Yeoh. It's going to be great.
Yep.
Indeed. So my next one is The Black Phone, coming to theaters June 24th, 2022. So hopefully, good. Fingers crossed. It's directed by Scott Derrickson and it stars Ethan Hawke. So we're all obviously interested. Finney Shaw is a shy but clever 13-year-old boy who's being held in a soundproof basement by a sadistic masked killer. When a disconnected phone on the wall starts to ring, he soon discovers that he can hear the voices of the murderer's previous victims, and they are dead set, haha, pun intended, on making sure that what happened to them doesn't happen to Finney. I did not write this, but I love it.
I wish someone else would have written it.
Whoever did. That sounds awesome, actually. So is Ethan Hawke playing the 10-year-old kid?
Yes, yeah. 13-year-old, but yeah, he's playing the child.
He is that freaking good. I bet you if you asked him, I bet you he, because he is quite the artiste, he would probably be like, I think I can get into the mindset of a 10-year-old boy. I think I could be him. And he just get
Let
down
me
his,
be both.
He'd get on his knees both. And walk around with his little legs. Yeah, I think he could do it.
Little legs.
I really want to see this happen now.
I kind of do. Kind of like that. What was it? Was it a Wayans movie? Little Man? Was that Little Man where they, yeah, one of them did that? Yeah, kind of like that, but yeah, with Ethan Hawke, with real talent right behind it.
Right. Not Sean Wayans.
Exactly.
But
real talent. Sorry.
So my next one is Disappointment Boulevard, coming out April 22nd, 2022. This is an A24 Ari Aster film that stars Joaquin Phoenix. The only description we really have of it is an intimate, decade-spanning portrait of one of the most successful entrepreneurs of all time. And it may have possibly been described as a nightmare comedy. And I say maybe, sort of, possibly, because it was in an interview where he was mentioning, Ari Aster was referencing this nightmare comedy he was working on. So it could be this, it could also be something else, but more than likely, it's probably Disappointment Boulevard.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Ari Aster, I'm interested to see what happens.
He's,
yeah, after Midsommar, I'm more interested in what he's got.
See, I'm totally the opposite. After Midsommar, I'm a little less interested in what he's got, but I love Hereditary, so I don't level. I really liked
this
Hereditary.
This is the only time Aaron and I will agree on something this week.
Is Midsommar? A lot of people love that movie, man. I mean, we're kind of in the minority on it, but
I even liked it a lot.
It took 16 hours to get to the end of that movie. Just, my God, let's go.
Well, the next one, I can't imagine that if you have a heart, you're not going to be interested in seeing this.
Ooh, so I'm out.
It's called Dog, and it comes out February 18th, 2022. It's directed by Channing Tatum and Reed Carolan. With a dog named Lulu by his side, Army Ranger Briggs races down the Pacific coast to make it to a soldier's funeral on time. Along the way, Briggs and Lulu drive each other completely crazy, break a handful of laws, narrowly evade death, and learn to let down their guards to have a fighting chance of finding happiness. It's a dog and a military man bonding. I'm 100% on board.
I saw the trailer, and all I could think was, this is, I mean, there's no plot here, and I'm all on board.
Yeah.
I'm all on board.
It's Turner and Hooch, but different.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a guy and a dog. That's all I really, really need. Yeah. The part in the trailer where he's like, I can see. There's lots of funny bits in that trailer.
And my last one is Ambulance, which comes out April 8th, 2022. It's directed by Michael Bay, so explosions everywhere. And it stars Jake Gyllenhaal and Yahya Abdul-Mateen II. Needing money to cover his wife's medical bills, a decorated veteran teams up with his adoptive brother to steal $32 million from a Los Angeles bank. However, when their getaway goes spectacularly wrong, the desperate thieves hijack an ambulance that's carrying a severely wounded cop and an EMT worker. Caught in a high-speed chase, the two siblings must figure out a way to outrun the law while keeping their hostages alive.
It's so Michael Bay. It's like the most Michael Bay ever made.
I can't wait for all those low angle spins around people for no good reason.
There's going to be a woman. We're going to see her butt cheeks and we're going to look at it for a hot minute while there's an explosion in the background.
Hey, it's going to be a lot longer than a hot minute.
Yeah. And at some point, somebody needs to check her ID if he's in charge, because she's always underage. And it's going to be the ambulance driver. Like, why is she in a bikini all of a sudden? It makes no sense whatsoever.
She's going to start the movie in a bikini.
Yeah.
Oh, of course. Yeah, that's how when you're getting ready to drive the ambulance, you got to make sure you got your thong on. That makes sense. Go Michael Bay. All right. Who's next on this? I think we're to John.
Yeah. All right. So starting my list off, I'm going to go with The Flash. Barry Allen travels back in time to prevent his mother's murder, which brings unintended consequences to his timeline. This is going to be coming out November 4th, stars Batfleck, because he is Batfleck, Michael Keaton, Ezra Miller, Michael Shannon's in this one, and Ron Livingston.
I was just reading this interview with Ben Affleck about him kind of just remembering how things were on the set of Justice League and his experiences with all of these different movies. And the one that he mentioned in this, I don't know, it could be trying to market for the film that's upcoming, but he did mention that this was one of his favorite ones to work on, especially as Batman.
That's cool.
So that makes me really excited for it.
Yeah, me too. I hope that means we're going to be getting more Batfleck overall, too.
He also said in that same interview that he really hates when people say Affleck. So,
Affleck!
You're welcome, if you're listening.
I really hope he's listening.
So do I.
All right, sticking with the DC Universe, we got Black Adam. Plot is unknown still. It's expected to come out July 29th, and it's going to star Sarah Sahi, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, Pierce Brosnan. I love Shazam or Captain Marvel, however you want to really want to call him. I love Shazam. I like the whole idea of them using Black Adam as an anti-hero. And I can't wait for this.
Sarah is in this?
Yes.
Oh my God. I'm so in.
That's the selling point.
Look, until you've watched The L Word and you've watched those sex scenes, you will not understand why it's so exciting to see her anytime on screen.
All right. I mean, interesting. I mean, Aldous Hodge is in this. I don't know if you mentioned him, but I love Aldous Hodge. So
I did not. Aldous Hodge is in it, as well as Noah Centineo or whatever, however you pronounce that.
I'm sure that's really close to not.
And not at all.
That's correct.
That'll bring in some teenagers for sure. And 30-year-olds.
And just about everyone in between.
Right? I think The Rock can handle that on his own. I mean, really anybody else really isn't a factor at this point. It's The Rock. He's kind of the most popular guy worldwide.
Not according to Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel is so incorrect on that information. I hate to tell him. I mean, he's like, hey, you're part of the family. No, the family exists because of The Rock. He really saved your whole, all your bacon. Right. So just call him, thank him, beg him, whatever you got to do. Yeah, it's not going to happen. Sorry, Vin. That looks good. Black Adam looks good.
Yeah, Black Adam does look good. And my third Warner Brothers property, apparently. Apparently, this is going to be like an all Warner Brothers property.
Is this because you thought they were still going to air them on HBO Max? And you're just like,
these are all the movies I can see at home. I'm so excited.
Releasing April 15th, we have Fantastic Beasts, The Secrets of Dumbledore. Mad Mikkelsen's coming back for this one. I'm saying that to be funny because he's actually taken over for Johnny Depp. Ezra Miller is actually
coming
back.
Slap to the face, isn't it?
It's so wrong. Really, it's so wrong.
Let's just talk about that.
Let's talk about how Amber Heard has a career and yet he doesn't.
Hey, nobody was there.
We've heard the recordings where she admits to punching him in the face.
That is really messed up.
It's really screwed up. Eddie Redmayne is coming back as Newt Scamander, and I recently rewatched this whole the first two movies. I really like this whole idea of doing this 1920s feel to the magic world, and I can't wait to stay in this world some more.
Yeah, I love the first movie. I just thought the second one was okay. I believe Amanda said it's the best movie of the year it was released. Like, it's just
how
an amazing
the hell did I
film.
Know this was going to come up?
So
it's because you use like hyperbolic words like that.
So in the third one, I just expect it's probably going to rival Rear Window as the greatest movie ever made. That's what I'm assuming.
I obviously am already giving it a 15 on our 10 score.
I mean,
scale. Obviously,
because you're paying extra. You're paying premium pricing for this bad boy.
She's going to swear that Jordan Peele directed it.
Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be amazing if the greatest director of all time directed the greatest sequel of all time?
Jesus Christ.
Dear God, that'd be amazing.
I quit. I'm out of here. I can't take this bullying anymore.
All right,
we already
got your recommendations. See you.
Yeah, right? You're already done. We're out. Okay, so following that up is like, I think this is not a Warner Brothers property. I didn't check this out. I only just realized I was doing so many Warner Brothers stuff while I was doing this. Apparently, I'm not boycotting Warner Brothers. The Atom Project, a time-traveling pilot, teams up with his younger self and his late father to come to terms with his past while saving the future. The stars, of course, it's going to star Ryan Reynolds, Zoe Saldana, Jennifer Garner, Mark Ruffalo.
Mm. And that's, I think, directed by Sean Levy, who did Free Guy, too. I think they reunited for that one. So that's
and
good.
It's a Paramount Pictures.
Can't wait. That looks great. That does look great. And that is
and it's going to be on Netflix.
Definitely not Warner Brothers. So that's great, John. You broke away. You broke away
but
from
it's
them.
On Netflix. It doesn't like does it change anything if it's still just coming to Netflix and not the theater?
No, because he still doesn't have to leave the house. He really thought all of these were going to be on HBO Max.
So, I really did think all of these were going to be in my house. Speaking of which, let's go right back to Warner Brothers, guys. I'm going to do Batgirl. Uh-huh. Expected out sometime in 2022. Based upon the DC character who's popular, Barbara Gordon dons the guise of Batgirl to fight crime. It's going to have J.K. Simmons as Commissioner Gordon, Brendan Fraser as Firefly, Michael Keaton is going to be your Batman in this, and your Barbara Gordon is going to be Leslie Grace.
From In the Heights. Yeah.
Yes.
She's good.
I forgot Brendan Fraser was going to be in this, and I'm so excited.
And that one will be on HBO Max. That premieres. That's an HBO Max movie, the way I understood it.
I think so too, yeah.
Because they're split and they took like, I think 22 movies or something, 11 are hitting theaters and 11 are going straight to HBO Max or something is what their slate is going to be. So you can leave your house half the time.
I don't know. I didn't realize I was going to do so many Warner Brothers and primarily DC stuff for my movies. It was like I did Marvel for all of my TV and now I'm doing DC for all
I think
all
we kind of all
movies.
See the pattern. So it's there. It exists.
Yeah.
You like what you like.
But the benefit to you, John, is that you get that in 45 days instead of 90 now.
Yes, it's kind of great.
That's true. The window has shortened. All right, Troy, batter up.
Batter up. Well, it's the year of the video game adaptations for the big screen as Uncharted is coming. Yes, I played all four of these games following Nathan Drake on all of his quests during the pandemic. And hopefully, as Omicron disappears, we can then enjoy the endemic with Tom Holland and Mark Wahlberg as they give us the video game version of Indiana Jones on February 11th.
I have to say, I've played all four of those games as well. It's still not a freaking Uncharted movie, even if it's the same kind of story, because those are not the same characters. But it still looks like a fun movie. So I will still see it, but I'm going to pretend that none of the characters are named Nathan Drake or Sully.
And I think from what I saw from the trailer, it looks a lot like the fourth game from what I was picking
up. No, they're like stealing bits from it. Like there's multiple times where they're stealing bits from different games instead of just, you know, doing the game that just doing an actual Uncharted game. I mean, but I get it. They're trying to make their own thing and Tom Holland's hot right now. So we don't need a Nathan Drake that's age appropriate. Let's just go and do the Muppet Baby version. And that's what we got.
The Muppet Baby version is fine as long as this takes place in the timeline where it's appropriate for a Muppet Baby version to show up, I would think.
As long as they can make it work. I mean, it looks like a fun movie, so that's really the number one priority.
Because they did have some flashbacks in the game, so it's like, if this is a time they appropriate, did. I could buy into it.
They did. Yeah, they did.
We all know we wanted the next thing in the chapter, the next story.
True.
Because that would have been cool. Or something completely different with Nathan Drake's daughter, which could be cool as well.
Mm-hmm.
Lightyear is going to be awesome, because this was the pitch that was actually done at Pixar when they gave the idea for the Buzz Lightyear character for Toy Story. So we're actually getting the pitch turned into a full-fledged movie about this character of Lightyear as he decides to join up with the Space Rangers and take on the world. And it's going to be an amazing journey to infinity. And it comes out on June 17th.
I'm looking forward to that one. Actually, believe it or not, even though I don't like animated and I don't really watch many Pixar, that's one that looks, it's got Chris Evans voice in it. So That's really what's got me stoked.
Yeah, it's
cute. Yeah, I'm down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to pretend it's Captain America the whole time.
Water, earth, fire, air. The Avatar is the master
Captain
of
Planet?
All four elements. But since M. Night couldn't master the first movie to make a sequel happen because his live action version of Airbender sucked, James Cameron is going to take over the Avatar universe and bring it back to life after 13 years in cryostasis, as Sam Worthington and Zoe Saldana and Sigourney Weaver are back as the Blue People finally hit theaters December 16th in Avatar 2.
Pass.
Do you want that? I mean, well, it's on your top five, so I assume you do. Why do you want that? I'm not knocking it, even though it sounds like I'm knocking it. I just feel like it's been 84 years. I mean, to quote James Cameron, it's been 84 years since the last movie.
And I think that's why I want it, because it's like it's been shoved down my throat that he's like, I'm making 2 and 3 and 4, and I'm going to make all the technology to make it happen. So I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to show up and see what the hype is all about. And then hopefully you don't get to make 3 and 4, because 2 is going to suck.
Jeez, that took a turn. I'm going to show up day one for your movie, and then I'm going to bitch about it on the internet.
That's kind of like me watching Boba Fett.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was the first movie was, it was weird, right? It's a weird movie, but you can't not sit back and just marvel at the 3D experience in IMAX when this came out in 2009 for the technology at the time. I mean, you felt immersed in the world. When Home Tree Falls, you're like, oh my God, like you cried for a tree. I mean, it was powerful, and it is definitely an interesting thing. And so when you think back on his career of like, how many times did we see Titanic in the theater? Like, how many times have you watched The Abyss, both the regular and the extended edition? I mean, Terminator 2. I mean,
he's a great director.
Like, you can't go wrong with James Cameron 90% of the time. So I think you got to give it a shot and check it out.
That's fair.
Plus, you'll have to know what the new Disney ride is afterwards when they build a new Disney ride. Moonfall, then, is the latest something is out there trying to destroy the Earth.
This is your top five is Moonfall? That's amazing.
Well, because someone said that we couldn't pick what the listeners picked, and all my other stuff was on the listeners list.
You still found a way to pick it. So, that's going to be it. That's going to be an experience.
Yeah, Feb 4, so very, very soon, we're going to see Halle Berry, Patrick Wilson, John Bradley star in this movie where a mysterious force knocks the moon from its orbit around the Earth and sends it hurtling on a collision course with life as we know it.
Can't even with a straight
face. Are you going to give us a science lesson on how this is all feasible and what they're going to do after the movie, too?
Remember Fast 9? Yeah, they can go into space with that car. Sure.
Totally.
Just don't look up. It'll be fine.
I see what you did there.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And then because I am in a kick for some more Uncharted, Indiana Jones type stuff, I put The Lost City, March 25th. Brilliant but reclusive author Loretta Sage, played by Sandra Bullock, has spent her career writing about exotic places in her popular romance adventure novels featuring a handsome cover model played by Channing Tatum, who has dedicated his life to embodying the hero character Dash. While promoting her new book with it, she is kidnapped by eccentric billionaire played by Daniel Radcliffe, who hopes that she can lead him to an ancient lost city's treasure from her latest story. It'll be good to see Sandra back up on the big screen.
They should have just called that Romancing the Jewel of the Nile.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Totally.
And that's why it's totally going to be fun to go see it.
Absolutely. I think it looks like a blast. I'm just, you know, how can you watch that trailer and not think Romancing the Stone remake? Possibly? Definitely? Yeah. That looks like a lot of fun.
With two heroes.
Yep. Sure. Does have two heroes. My first one is Bullet Train, which is about 5 assassins aboard a fast-moving bullet train. They find out their missions have something in common. It's got, again, Sandra Bullock, Zazie Beetz, Aaron Taylor Johnson, Brian Tyree Henry, Michael Shannon, and Brad Pitt. This comes out July 15th, 2022. Just sounds like an all-around awesome kind of action flick that we need in the theater.
I like the cast.
Yeah, that does sound pretty awesome.
Yeah. What is most likely going to be the biggest hit of the entire year, critically and commercially, The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent. A cash-strapped Nicolas Cage agrees to make a paid appearance at a billionaire superfan's birthday party, but is really an informant for the CIA since the billionaire fan is a drug kingpin and gets cast in a Tarantino movie. And it comes out on April 22nd. This is the most meta that meta has ever meted, and I can't wait to see it.
I can't wait for this.
Looks absolutely amazing. Absolutely
ridiculous.
Amazing. Aquaman 2. Aquaman forges an uneasy alliance with an unlikely ally to save Atlantis and the rest of the planet. There's not really much else that's known about it, except Amber Heard will definitely be back. James Wan and the rest of the cast do return on December 16th, but I can't wait to see it because my man, I'm a big fan.
My single man.
Oh, yeah. He's getting divorced now, right? Him and Lisa Bonet.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I mean, it's sad. They actually snapped pictures of him without his ring. So,
wow.
I hope him and Emilia Clarke get together because I've always kind of liked when they're together.
They'd be so cute.
I mean, give it a minute because you just got divorced. But like next week, it'd be fine.
I was going to say like a few weeks would be fine.
Just one. I mean, what is the time frame if you get divorced before you can start dating again? Is there a rule?
No.
All I know is whenever you do.
Most of the time, you're already started dating before the divorce happens. That's kind of how it happens.
Jeez.
Whenever that happens, though, somebody always inadvertently just jumps up. That's too soon. Like, well, how do you know? You don't know when they officially separated or when they stopped seeing each other. They can go. As far as I'm concerned, as soon as you get the phone call, ring, ring, hey, yeah, we're officially separated. Great. Get their sister on the phone. Whatever. You got, you're open.
Get their sister? You're so wrong.
Time to move on, man. My next one's the Gray Man. Count Gentry, a.k.a. Sierra Six, a highly skilled former CIA operative, was once the agency's best merchant of death. After his escape from prison and recruitment by former handler Donald Fitzroy, Gentry is now on the run from the CIA with Agent Lloyd Hansen hot on his trail. Aided by Agent Danny Miranda, Hansen will stop at nothing to bring Gentry down. The only thing I wish they would do is change all of the names because they're ridiculous. Netflix is the one that's going to be airing this one. Thank God Troy's going to keep that subscription. And it stars Chris Evans, Ryan Gosling, Ana de Armas, Jessica Henwick, and it's directed by the Russo brothers. So that's basically an orgasm of a talent. That amazing. And I can't wait to see it.
What month was that again?
I have a feeling like those names are chosen on purpose just so that for the fun factor of it all.
Could be.
And what month was that coming out again?
I don't have a date yet.
Well, I may not have my Netflix subscription then, so I'll borrow yours.
That's fine. Okay, you know what? I'll set you up with logins. You don't have to pay for it, you cheap son of a bitch. Jesus. My last one is Don't Worry, Darling. It's a 1950s housewife living with her husband in a utopian experimental community begins to worry that his glamorous company may be hiding disturbing secrets. Feels very Stepford Wives in a way. And it stars Florence Pugh, Gemma Chan, and Harry Styles, and is directed by Olivia Wilde. It comes out September 23rd.
I'm down for that. That's a great
Florence.
Cast.
Florence.
I just heard three names that I was like, yep.
Yep. In. And that's also where, if you want some more gossip, that's where Olivia Wilde met Harry Styles.
What?
Ooh.
Just saying. All right. Any honorable mentions? Same order.
I have one. I can't wait to hear you guys respond to me after I say what it is.
Nope. Got nothing to say about it.
That's the name of the film.
What? Nope.
Coming July 22nd, 2022.
By the greatest director ever?
Jesus. Good Lord.
Legendary?
Jordan Peele. It stars Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, and Steven Yeun. It is pretty much unknown in terms of what the plot is. It's some sort of ominous horror film with a secluded town near the mountains is what I can gather from the image that was released.
Well, you can bet white people did it, whatever it is.
Yeah. You know, as a person who lives in a secluded town in the mountains right at the moment, I can pretty much tell you that the title is apropos.
Nope. The heck out of there.
He is a fantastic director. So, I mean, could you believe that, not the greatest director of all time, though, Amanda, he's just a great director.
I did not say he was the greatest director of all time, Jesus.
But I never saw anything from the Key and Peele show that indicated that talent existed. I'll be perfectly honest.
You're right there.
Shame on me for not recognizing it, because I never in a million years would guess he would become a fantastic horror director. Or just director in general. He's got very, very timely thematic values inserted into his films. It's always nice when you get a movie like that where you can think about it.
Yeah.
Let's see.
I actually don't have any honorable mentions that haven't been mentioned already.
Troy, do you have any?
Enola Holmes 2 comes out, The Case of the Left-Handed Lady. So if you did like the first go around with Millie Bobby Brown, you'll be able to see her again reprising her role on Netflix.
I did. That was really good, actually.
And to sell that a little bit more for the ladies, I think Henry Cavill's a much bigger presence than that one.
Nah, you're not making me say it. Nope. Yeah, he is, right?
Uh-huh.
All right. I will throw down Evil Dead Rise, which is a twisted tale of two estranged sisters whose reunion is cut short by the rise of flesh-possessing demons, thrusting them into a primal battle for survival as they face the most nightmarish version of family imaginable. Will be on HBO Max, and yes, it is another reboot of the Evil Dead franchise, and I am good with it. Just no Bruce Campbell, sadly.
I was thinking that was why it's called Rise, like Bruce Campbell shows up at the end or something and comes back from the dead.
I'm sure he's got to have a cameo. Got to have a cameo. I also want to mention X, which the trailer just released for it recently, which comes out, I believe, March. It comes out in March. And March 18th, 2022. And it is directed by Ty West. It's got Jenna Ortega in it and in Brittany Snow and a bunch of other wonderful Woo-hoo. Actors. And it's about a bunch of people who go to this farmhouse behind some creepy old guy's house to film a porn movie. And his wife is very weird. And horrible, horrible things start happening.
I like how you... It's very weird.
Very weird. There's some sexy stuff, and there's some murdery stuff, and it's called X. There you go. Whew. Now we are at the listener top 10 anticipated movies of 2022. We'll discuss as we go. First one comes out March 4th. Let's go... You want to go 10 to 1 or 1 to 10?
Yeah. Yeah. Save the best for 10 last.
10 to 1.
Okay. 1. Number 10. Jurassic World Dominion comes out on June 10th. Dinosaurs are in the wild and the OG cast returns as well. That's about as much as we know. Who's on board for another Jurassic World? Raise your hand or just say it out loud because we're on a podcast.
Hand raised.
OG cast. I'm in.
Yep.
You had me sold at OG cast.
Really? That's the bigger selling? You guys didn't like the first two movies? Or
the first movie was fine. The second movie was a little bit cartoonish.
I liked them. I'm just down for more dinosaurs.
I love
the dinosaur is standing on top of a glass roof. I mean, it doesn't work.
Troy, you argued the science of a stupid car going into space in the Fast 9 movie. I don't think we can listen to you complain about dinosaurs doing stuff.
They can stand on impact-resistant glass.
Thank you.
There's no air in space. They're not doing hopscotch on it.
With their little arms, it would be so weird for them to do it anyway. There's no balance there. All right, Mission Impossible 7 is number 9, September 30th. It was shot as a two-parter with 8, so it's kind of connected. It's got Tom Cruise, Rebecca Ferguson, Vanessa Kirby, Haley Atwell. As far as I'm concerned, I don't care if Tom Cruise is in it anymore. I just want to see it.
Haley Atwell and Rebecca Ferguson. Done. I'm good.
Yep, exactly. Dear God. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. It's a sequel that will continue to explore the world of Wakanda and all the characters introduced in the 2018 film. Comes out November 11th. As of now, they did have to extend some reshoots, so that's tentative, I would say. But we don't know what direction they're going to go, you know, in terms of they're not recasting Chadwick Boseman's character. So what they're going to do is still up in the air, and I'm kind of excited to see what they do. Next, Top Gun Maverick. After more than 30 years of service as one of the Navy's top aviators, which, by the way, I was in the Navy, and no, you would not still be one of their aviators 30 years in. Pete Mitchell is where he belongs, pushing the envelope as a courageous test pilot and dodging the advancement in rank that would ground him. In other words, he's Tom Cruise, and he said, no, I am still going to fly those planes. And it comes out May 27th.
And he probably is actually flying planes.
He probably is. That's part of it.
I mean, you say that like it's a bad thing.
It's 100% a Tom Cruise thing to be like, I will do this movie, but only if I can fly the goddamn plane.
That's what he did in the first movie.
And he's like, do you have a pilot's license? And
why
he's
are like, you saying no. this like it's not something everybody in the right mind would do?
Right. Like I can hear the judgment in your voice, but like everybody
I'm
else
not
is going.
Judging.
Oh my gosh.
Sure, yes, sounds like
I'm
it.
Not. He is a great stunt performer.
If I'm making totally Moonfall and I'm Holly Berry, I'm making the case like, can I get the space shuttle? Can I drive it? Can I do something that gets me into space? Right. Like, let me get some perk out of this movie. Good for him.
I don't care about the fly the giant penis in the air. Make it work.
What?
That's the Amazon Prime guys. Jeff Bezos
right.
does look like a penis.
Yeah.
It really does. He modeled it after something. The next up, Death on the Nile. Hercule Poirot investigates cannibalism claims against one Army Hammer. I kid. While on vacation on the Nile, Hercule Poirot must investigate the murder of a young heiress, and it comes out February 11th. And I can't wait for that movie that refuses to even mention Army Hammer is in it anymore.
he's not even in the trailer, is he?
I think one clip. But you
can't really tell it's him.
No,
it's like unless you're paying attention.
It's like his foot leaving the scene.
I'm half expecting to go and Kevin Spacey took his role. I don't know what to expect.
Oh dear.
I'm kind of curious. You know what, they did have character posters for all the characters in the movie to, you know, suspects and everything else, and he is not there.
That's pretty savage.
I don't know. Did he do enough to? I don't know. I don't want to get into that conversation, but apparently he did. I don't know what's going on. All right. So the next up is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. I think it's called Part 1, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
So Miles Morales returns for the next chapter of the Oscar-winning Spider-Verse saga, an epic adventure that will transport Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man across the multiverse to join forces with Gwen Stacy and a new team of spider people to face off with a villain more powerful than anything they have ever encountered.
I can't wait for this.
I really love the first one.
That was a brilliant movie. October 7th, by the way.
It really was. That to me is the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
I would agree with that.
Whoa. Let's dial that nonsense back.
The best live action is still the Sam Raimi OG.
Nonsense. But this is the best.
I just rewatched those. No, it's not.
Best period. Nope. I'm glad you guys enjoy it, but you
agree to disagree.
Troy, what do you have to say about it?
More Spider-Man is always good.
There you go.
That's a good, you know, stay in the middle, neutral kind of answer.
Nice, sissy
Spider-Man.
Troy, he's not going to watch Station 11. Go ahead. You don't have to try to.
Don't people please him.
If you say Spider-Man 1 is the best Spider-Man movie, I'll watch Station 11.
There was Spider-Man 1 like 4 times. Which Spider-Man 1 is there?
The OG, the one that
the only one he cares about, yeah. Sam Raimi.
See,
Raimi's.
Now I'm watching Ocean's 11. You're welcome. Thor, Love and Thunder, the sequel to Thor Ragnarok and the fourth movie in the Thor saga, and they got Christian Bale for this bad boy. So, damn. July 8th.
I can't wait for this one. I'm so excited.
I think apparently it's number 4, so a lot of people are pretty stoked for that. I was not a Ragnarok huge fan. I liked it. I did not love it like a lot of people did.
Honestly, I'm surprised that Top Gun 2 and Thor Love and Thunder weren't swapped. Like, I fully expected Top Gun to be higher up on the list for all those nostalgia fans of the original and Tom Cruise lovers.
Honestly, I could see this, though, because when Top Gun 2 was originally announced, I was like, yes, give it to me now. Now that it's been delayed so long, I've kind of forgotten about it.
Yeah.
Where it's like, at least Thor is part of Phase 4. So you have to see it because you got to see the other stuff. So I could see why Thor would come up because it's more top of mind.
Yeah, I could see that.
It'd be interesting to see like where this fits, though, into Phase 4 and the timeline and everything. Because obviously Thor and the friends from the Guardians of the Galaxy were all kind of meshing together there at the end. So it'll be interesting to see how that kind of works itself out.
Yeah, I want to see Asgardians of the Galaxy still. Damn it. And I'm glad they held Top Gun 2 or Top Gun Maverick until summer, though. Like, they were going to have it at the end of the year. I just do not want to see a Top Gun movie in the winter. I just don't.
No.
All right. Knives Out 2. Yeah. Plot is unknown and will release in 2022 with Daniel Craig returning as Benoit Blanc, uncovering a new crime. And this one is exclusive to Netflix because they inked a huge $450 million deal for two freaking movies. So you'll get a Knives Out 2 and a Knives Out 3 in succeeding years.
This excites me. I can't wait to see this. And I love the fact that we don't have any idea what's going to happen in the story because the whodunit of the first one was so well done.
Absolutely. I can't wait. And I just love how I'm not quite sure Daniel Craig even knows what accent he's using at any given minute. And it just works. Oh... Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness, is that right? Mm-hmm. Dr. Stephen Strange casts a forbidden spell that opens the door to the multiverse, including an alternate version of himself whose threat to humanity is too great for the combined forces of Strange, Wong, and Wanda Maximoff, May 6th. Why do you guys want to see this so bad? I am not a great big Doctor Strange fan.
Well, this is going to probably have a big tie-in to the Marvel What If series, too.
100%. And obviously, you're going to have in WandaVision and all of the ramifications from most of the shows that have premiered. But why am I interested? I don't think I actually need to answer this, but yeah. It doesn't deserve justification. Okay. But I mean, Scarlet Witch, period.
I only want to see it because Sam Raimi directed it. And that's his return to Marvel.
Okay.
Well, he directed the greatest.
Congratulations. The greatest all of us Spider-Man want to see it movie. Then.
So, yeah. Just saying.
I didn't think he directed the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
He didn't. He directed the best Spider-Man movie, which was not that one. So the most anticipated
one, apparently, was the name of that movie.
The most anticipated movie of 2022, according to listeners, it was by a wide margin, which actually kind of surprised me since there's been 47 of these movies in the last decade and a half. The Batman, in his second year of fighting crime, Twinkly Twilight Batman uncovers corruption in Gotham City that connects to his own family while facing a serial killer known as the Riddler, and it comes out March 4th. And it's directed by Matt Reeves, who did the Planet of the Apes series, or the last two films. And I will say, what is fantastic about this is that they are finally doing the detective version of Batman, which we really haven't seen. Like, I've had a lot of people ask mm-hmm. me, because we're doing movie podcasts, what's so different about this Batman from any other Batman? Really, only The Dark Knight even touched on the detective portion of who Batman is as a character. So I'm looking forward to, if you can make a whole movie about it, I would love to watch that.
Well, you know, it could be said that, like, Batfleck didn't have to be told where anybody was. Like, he was, you know, go save Martha. Okay, I already figured out where she is. You don't need to go on, Flyboy. I know where she
is. Right, but we didn't have Batman on the scene, surveying, collecting evidence, actually identifying, right. You know, actually doing real detective work. He just hung out at his yeah. laptop and, you know, had Siri find it.
Had Siri find it.
I think this looks amazing. And every time I see a little bit more of it and I get more glimpses of it, I want it faster now, as soon as possible.
Calm down. It. You don't have to be so dirty about it.
Harder. Jeez, but whoa, whoa, whoa. what just happened?
Well, I mean, it does turn me on a little when he says he's vengeance.
Oh, my God. Like, I'm there, man. Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's my fault. I'm
it
sorry.
Was you're definitely your fault. I was not going there, but as soon as I started to say it, I was like, somebody's going to call me out on this, and it's probably going to be John.
Right. I am going to go see this under duress, is all I got to say.
Under duress?
It's under duress. I am not going to miss a Batman movie, and I'm not going to tell you that I'm going to. I think this Batman movie is going to be bad or any of those things. I actually think it's going to be great. I don't want it because I still want Batfleck, so that's why it's under duress.
But you're still getting him. He's going to be in the Flash, so you'll still get. Something.
Yeah, I want just a straight Batfleck movie, and I want another Man of Steel.
But you're not even going to mention, like, it's, whenever. That movie comes out, whenever The Flash comes out, all they're going to talk about is Michael Keaton. That's it. Michael yeah. Keaton.
That's bullshit.
That's the way it's going to be, man. Because a lot of people think he's the best Batman. They are wrong.
They're wrong.
They are absolutely wrong.
Who's the best Bruce Willis?
Bruce Willis or Bruce Wayne?
Not Bruce Willis, sorry.
I was like, when did Michael Keaton play Bruce Willis? Was he in The Sixth Sense?
You know That's who funny. I mean.
Honestly, Michael Keaton would do a better Bruce Willis than Bruce Willis has done in the past
probably
10 years.
True.
Jesus.
That's probably true.
Bruce Wayne.
Even Bruce Willis, no, if he did another Die Hard, just be like, yippee-ki-yay.
He falls
Money,
asleep.
Please.
That's funny. That's it, guys. We have done it. That is the most anticipated movies and TV shows of 2022 that are remaining. A couple things are already out. Peacemaker came out. You know, I think we talked about that, but definitely go find the intro. If you don't want to watch the show, at least watch the intro, because
the intro is fantastic.
Interesting. What do you guys think of 2022? We're gonna wrap the show. What do you think in terms of this year? Are we through the nonsense of the last year and a half? Do you have faith?
Whoa, let's let's not talk about any of these thoughts. Let's just ease into the ear. Let's just like see how it feels and not talk about how it's going to be our year or it's going to be like,
not saying our year or anything. I'm just saying the box office, we've got a top 10 all time movie that just came out. I mean, nobody would have foreseen that a few months ago. Scream is a big hit. We're getting movies that are hits again.
You're going to jinx it.
Yeah. This is the whole like, you know, hey, the kicker hasn't missed a field goal in 20 attempts, and then they missed the field goal. So why don't you just shut your mouth and just say goodbye?
Okay. Well, all right. That's going to do it. Everybody, thanks for being here. Share your thoughts on this episode or anything else in our Facebook group called The Hollywood Outsider. It's a private group. You got to find it to join. We're also on Twitter at @BuyPopcorn. Our site is TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Please rate and subscribe us on your preferred podcast app. Be sure to come back. Next week, we'll have a normal episode. We're changing a couple things up from our normal show, so come back for that. And you can find John's artwork on Insta and Twitter at @RJohnDraws. Amanda on Veronica's Marshmallows and Smirk and at Sink Into This. Me on The Blacklist Exposed and presenting Hitchcock and at Aaron Smirks. Troy Heinrichs on The Blacklist Exposed and Beyond Westworld and at Troy Heinrichs. And I don't think we've come to a decision yet if we're still doing Beyond Westworld. We probably will, I'm sure. So that's going to do it. Anything in closing? We're out of here. Anyone? Anything?
It's going to be a great year for movies.
Don't say it. Jinx it.
Damn it. See, I get yelled at when we...
Well...
I got yelled at, too.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Obama.
Thanks, Obama. Oh, I missed that. I haven't heard that in a while.
I do. Well, remember, we're even changing the tagline. The next time you head to a theater or stream comfortably from your couch, because you don't want to leave, buy popcorn.
While you watch Station 11.
Jesus H.
Oh my
Christ.
God, give it up!
You and John are both on HBO Max's payroll.